A great radio personality whom I hold in extremely high regard is Ridi Tlabi. And although she couldn't come in for an interview, we did speak to her on the line about paid Twitter and the dangers of social media. We also spoke to her about paid Twitter being another confirmation of how the ANC is looking to control certain narratives in South Africa. Ridi has an incisive and intellectual viewpoint on this, and I think she's much missed on the airwaves. Although she should be returning soon on television, it was really great to catch up with her. She's an erudite and articulate spokesperson for many of the views of the average South African, and she advised us on how we needed to rise above all of the noise and nonsense to see beyond the distractions and get to what really matters in society. I'm pleased to say Ridi Tlabi was one of our most popular discussions of 2017. CliffCentral.com. Well, on the line is Ridi Tlabi. Ridi, first of all, we've got lots of congratulations to give to you. So I haven't caught up with you in such a long time. First of all, congrats on the expansion of your family.
Thank you.
Which is exciting stuff. Second of all, congratulations on your new afternoon drive show.
Yes.
Very exciting. And yeah, good move by 702. You're obviously a major asset to them. I've followed you for years. I listen to you on and off whenever I can. And I really do think that you are the top of the heap. So I'm delighted you could join us this morning.
Oh, Gareth, you've always said really kind words to me. So I know the sincerity behind all of that. Thank you so much.
Well, when we're talking about sincerity, and thank you for that, but there are some people on Twitter who are not very sincere at all.
You know, Gareth, I saw this a long time ago. I just never knew that it would morph into a kind of formalized strategy of fake news. But there are certain people who would deliberately, consistently target certain journalists who report negatively on the ANC. And if you think about it, it's not a negative report on the ANC. It's reporting what is happening. We are here to speak truth to power, criticize the government, we criticize the DA as well. And power is not just those who are in office. Power is even the parliamentarians who are in parliament representing people. When you have power, you ought to accept that the gaze will be on you, and it should be on you for the strength of our democracy. But they've been busy on Twitter doing stupid things. If there's a negative story about a journalist that they don't like, they blow it up. And then here's another thing. They get all their buddies to retweet and to basically be engaged in cyberbullying. But this time around, it seems to be a formal process that's meant to capture public perception.
So, you know, ordinary people in South Africa, a lot of people follow the news. They trust certain news organizations, and most of these have credible journalists who do all the research and go to the trouble of making sure that their facts are straight. There are other places that just take whatever's going on Twitter, whether it's a trending topic or a manufactured outrage, and they make that the news. And ordinary people are very much persuaded that this is how the state of race relations is, this is the state of opposition politics, this is the state of ANC politics, and sometimes it's just not so.
Well, I think two things need to happen. The politicians from other parties need to up their game and make themselves far more accessible. Now, that's not something that we in the media can interfere in, because we can't be advising political parties on what to do. But in response to your question, that the people who are engaged in that kind of fabrication are people who are anxious, who are nervous. So those who are being reported on falsely must just up their game. But on the media point of view, I work for 702. You are running this successful online output. There are credible investigative journalists. I think what we need to do is make access to information cheaper. Yeah. If you're going to make content expensive and inaccessible, well, then you know what? It's your fault. Roll over and die, because the fake news is going to prosper. Public perception and the narrative is going to be informed and based on fake news. I really think that, Gareth, whether it's an online article from a credible source like Amabungani, EWN, I know that we need money to survive, but we need to be a bit more innovative and creative in how we sustain ourselves financially, but also not make good content so out of reach for ordinary people.
Ridi, you had a discussion yesterday with Zizi Kodwa. Now, there are a couple of names that have come up as members of this cabal of paid Twitter, but Zizi tried very hard to spin his way out of a tight situation. I mean, essentially, you know, Sihle has said that she was paid a certain amount of money to keep this out of court. Zizi's saying, no, she was just a volunteer. She was never contracted. She never worked for the ANC. If you got $1 million in your account and you never did any work for the ANC, that's very generous of them, but completely stupid at the same time. What did he have to say for himself on your show yesterday?
You know what? He stuck to his side of the story, but I've spoken to Zizi over many years. I wouldn't be surprised if in a day or two he starts saying something that contradicts what he said on our show. He claims that they agreed to pay. He first said the ANC agreed to pay $1 million just to avoid litigation. Why would you fear litigation if the person has no case? In fact, I would encourage a person to litigate because I know that they have absolutely no case. It's precisely because they know that Sika can prove her case that they've agreed to pay. Secondly, when the heat was on and I was challenging him, he then started speaking about Ignatius Jacob, who is the general manager of the ANC, who signed, who signed this acknowledgement of debt. Of debt. Initially, it was we in the ANC. And then when it got hot, it's Ignatius Jacobs did this in his personal capacity. It was on an ANC letterhead. He's the general manager of the ANC. So does that mean every time an ANC senior leader commits the party in a way that exposes them, then they're going to distance themselves from it? And we know this term distance ourselves has become part of the South African lexicon. It was started by politicians. When SHIT hits the fan, they'll say we distance ourselves from this person. So basically, I guess, if you look at the paper trail, if you just follow the simple logic of this, here's a young woman, who's taking on a formidable party to demand $1 million. She must be sure of his story.
What courage. And she's been threatened. She said yesterday she's had to lay charges of intimidation at the police station because people were calling her up and saying, we're going to deal with you. This is severely going to affect the credibility of the ANC in a way that it hasn't before been affected, because social media up to now, people have just taken to be true. And I mean, you've had your suspicions. I've had mine. Last year was very fractious. There was a lot of nonsense online. We all know that there was something nefarious going on. Now we have proof that something nefarious was going on, which kind of invalidates a lot of the dumber arguments that we were all having with each other in 2016. And that brings some relief. But there are a lot of people who will have to prove that they deserve to be taken seriously from herein. Shaka Sisulu, Zizi Kodwa, a number of others. Fat Joe has been implicated in all of this too. What are your thoughts on those?
Well, you know, Gareth, power is very attractive. Some people have historical roots to the ANC, i.e. Shaka, and they want to keep it alive for reasons that are perhaps far deeper than the current politics. Shaka Sisulu's grandfather is Walter Sisulu. His aunt is Lindiwe Sisulu. His father, Max Sisulu. So I have an understanding of those connections to a party that kept you alive, that kept you safe, for which you sacrificed your life over many years. But I would want to challenge people like Shaka to say, when the party is messing up, then you rise and you speak out. You don't become part of these nefarious activities. Of course, he has denied this and said it's fake news, but he hasn't advanced any reasons and any basis. So until he does that, then I'm afraid that what stays up in our consciousness is the fact that his name is there. That's my message for Shaka. And for people like Fed Joe and other celebrities and all of that, again, I come back to the word power. Perhaps they too have these links with the ANC, which I do not want to rubbish or I do not want to subvert. But the fact of the matter is that political parties all over try to keep close ties with people who have a large following, who have a large public profile, from celebrities to business people. But I would challenge every single person that we need to act on principle, because this is about country first rather than the victory and success of one party. And I would like them to reflect very deeply on that.
You got quite annoyed, I saw on Twitter, with people who were saying, well, you know, a lot of the calls to your show were also kind of pushed by political party agendas, and that they would call their friends and say, call in to Reedy's show. Did you find that somehow got in the way sometimes of your content and your direction?
Well, this is what I insist on. As soon as we suspect or figure out that we're being flooded by a particular political party, we get EWN and some of the producers to verify it. And as soon as it's verified, I go on and I expose it. And guess what? Those calls don't come anymore. So I think there's certain things you can't prevent. We can't say to people, you can't come on air. of course, on this inciting violence, I mean, there's certain criteria. We can't put a person who's now going to come on air and say, let's kill all white people or let's kill all black people. Of course, we need to censor that. Mm-hmm. But it's very easy to spot this. The caller says one thing. The next one says, they all kind of speak the same. And you think, even if you share the same opinion, the way you present it would be different. It's easy to spot this rubbish. So the way we fight back is not keep it to ourselves. I go on air and I say, hey, I'm speaking about the DA and I'm flooded by DA callers. How stupid do you think we are? ANC callers, how stupid do you think we are? And then I challenge that. And then suddenly it goes. You know, so I really think, Gareth, that, you know, even listeners, readers, the public, we need to be hard on ourselves. You've got to demand that people who want to communicate with you earn the right to consume your time. Expose yourself to as many news sources as possible. Then you start seeing the pattern with the fake news. And by the way, guys, I must say this because it's important. The fake news defenders are saying, oh, yeah, but stations like 702, papers like Business Day, Mail and Guardian, they're also fake news. No, we are not. There may be an inaccurate report. There may be something that is incorrect, but there's a platform to correct it. There's a platform for you to challenge us. With fake news, you've got nowhere to take that challenge.
I heard that there were fake news accounts set up on Twitter for EWN, for ENCA, and for the Sunday Times over the last few days, and that these are related to all the state capture stuff that's going on. This really does make it much, much more difficult for reputable news agencies to hold their credibility in a sea of really messy, ugly, nasty stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. And you know what? They're clever, these fake news disciples. You know, the handle that they will use is very close to the actual handle of the real stuff. So when you're reading and you're in a hurry, you can't see that there's an extra number, there's an extra letter to the official one. So you know what? I do think, Gareth, that we ought to take this seriously. I cannot downplay the toxicity of this, and that this is a massive challenge for legitimate news sources. I just think the only thing they can do is fight back as soon as possible, as soon as a fake Twitter account has posted something that is delegitimizing their voice. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I can only agree with that it makes the job of legitimate job sources far more difficult. But they just need to fight back.
Well, thank you for talking to us this morning. I hope you'll come in and spend some time with us one day and we can have a proper discussion, talk all about what's going on. But thank you so much for your time this morning, and good luck with the show this afternoon on 702. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Reedy. Bye-bye. Reedy Tlabi, everybody. And she's always one of the people I love to refer to and get some thoughts from when it comes to stuff like this, because she's in it, but at the same time, she has an acute means of observing it from the outside and making objective calls on some of the stuff that the rest of us are too mired in.
That she does.
No, she's
very
sharp.
Great.
Very sharp. Mm. Anyway, so there is fake news out there, and now you know. CliffCentral.com.